fighting for America.
Here at the home of the team with the most famous Statue of Liberty play in history, I don't need to remind you that big things happen late in the fourth quarter.
Fighting for Idaho.
We are here fighting for the voiceless, especially the children who are conceived in rape and incest, because their lives matter, just like a child conceived with wine and roses.
Fighting for you.
I came in Monday morning. I was shocked to learn of the news reports about the footballs. I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Your show always delivers.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to Miller Monday. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We'll have the latest on Deflategate. We'll have the latest on Senator Sitaway laying the smackdown when we're talking about education here in the state of Idaho. Huge story in the paper. Just because it's in the paper, we don't know if that's actually true. But today, it's much to the happiness of the media, much to the happiness of everybody else. It's the Add the Words hearings. Better get your seat early. Joining us now live from the Lincoln Auditorium, I believe, is our great friend Julie Lindy from Cornerstone Family Council. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So is the crowd there already, or are you like one of those reporters just sitting there waiting for the people to come in? I know it's very, very early.
It's insanely early, and there is a good-sized crowd here, but they haven't opened the doors yet to the auditorium.
Oh, my goodness.
So everybody's just hanging in the hallway.
I see. So maybe hopefully the folks that are actually running the facility will open the doors and let everybody in. But what doors open at 7 or at 6 or?
Oh, that I don't know. I think the committee room doors might open at 7. I'm just guessing, though. I know that they will have sign-up sheets for people who are coming into the room, and those will be available at 7:30. So I don't know if they'll open the doors before they put the sign-up sheets out or what. But people will need to sign in.
So in other words, if you're on your way down, the earlier you get there, the higher probability that you'll have to be heard today. Julie, how does this play out? Is it going to be an all-day hearing or be for just a couple hours, or how will it roll?
Well, that's always up to the will of the committee chairman, and I think what they have blocked out is 3 days for this. They want to be sure that everybody gets heard, and even if the room fills up, the Lincoln Auditorium, they will have overflow room so that everybody will be able to watch the proceedings, and they'll call names for testimony in order of the way they're signed up.
Julie, there's been a lot of interesting talk about this, and people are still raving about your interview that you had with us here at 580 KIDO last week. It's funny because thanks to your education, I was listening to the news media, and we had one reporter go, I've read the thing, and all it says is just add the words. Is that true, or is there more to this bill that the public has not been informed of by the local media?
There is so much more that the public has not been informed of. Yeah, it is four words, two little phrases, but it's not just four words. It's four words that are the beginning of the end of your freedom. And these four words aren't even defined in the bill. So it's gender identity and sexual orientation, and they're not defined. And if you Google those two terms and look for definitions, you come up with pages and pages and pages of definitions of them. It's a fluid, both terms are fluid, both terms are ongoing, and even the American Psychological Association says that the terms are on a continuum. So if less than 3% of the population identifies as homosexual or transgender, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, that means more than 97% of the population does not. And what that means is that 97%, and arguably part of the 3%, are going to have to try to figure out how to comply with these undefined words and this law that now puts you in a place where you can be accused of a criminal offense and not even know it.
Well, that's what gets me, and we're also talking about businesses that could be impacted by this legislation as well, that again, besides your organization, Julie, no one knows about these things.
Well, I think the word is getting out. One of the things about the Hitching Post case in Coeur d'Alene and the Houston pastors that had their sermons and private conversations subpoenaed, one of the things about those two circumstances is that people looked up and said, is this really happening in America?
Or is it really happening in Idaho?
And that's the tragedy. A lot of times we sit back in Idaho and think, we're Idaho, we're safe, we're a bunch of good people. Everybody here is kind-hearted, tolerant, compassionate, and kind. And these things just can't, these charges can't be leveled against us. And here we are.
Well, let's talk about this at 580 KIDO. Julie, what do you expect this hearing to be about today?
Well, I think the chairman really wants to hear from people that have come to testify and hear what they have to say. I'm hoping he goes pro-con. I'm not quite sure he'll do that. But I think what the committee will want to hear from us is some reasoned, articulate response as to why this is the exact opposite of compassion and tolerance. The people advocating for this bill are going to come in with a lot of stories of things that have happened to them, things they say that have happened to them, examples of why this bill is needed. And what's so interesting is they did the same thing when ordinances were being passed that are just like this in on the city level. And when those were getting passed, they couldn't identify any grievances that had been scheduled or had been even written into the attorney in the city. And they said, well, you know, we haven't reported these crimes, even though there are laws against them, because we're afraid, and we need this bill to make sure that we don't get this and so that we can report the crimes without fear. So then these cities passed the ordinances, and there still have been no reports. So it really is a solution in search of a problem.
Julie Lindy with us, Cornerstone Family Council here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Now, let's go over what happens if I want to go to the bathroom and this bill gets passed and I'm a guy and I go into the ladies' bathroom and I just have to declare that I'm a woman and I can go in any bathroom?
Exactly. You have every right to do that. And in fact, if I was in that same bathroom, I would not have a right to tell you to leave. That's the public accommodations portion that says if somebody identifies as a gender that's different than their biological sex, they should be allowed to go into any building or any room identified for the gender that they want to be.
Julie, let me give you the progressive side of this. What do you say to people that say, well, what's the harm in that? I have people here that are my coworkers that have confronted me about it, and I go, well, I'm not going to answer the question. What do you say? And you'll hear people today going, well, so what? What's the harm? I don't think women would mind. I don't think men would mind.
You know, maybe so. But let's take it a little further. Do you want to go in there with your 2-year-old daughter and have her see a naked man? Do you want to go in there with your elderly mother or your sister or your aunt? It's always a hypothetical until it happens to you. And I will tell you, I was talking with a lady at church yesterday, and when she heard about this component of this legislation, her face turned white. And she said to me, you can't let this bill pass. It just can't pass. I can't go into a bathroom and be confronted by a man. And I said, well, you know, that's the reality of the legislation. She goes, you don't understand. I was molested as a 4-year-old, and I was raped as an 18-year-old, and I can't relive that trauma just because I have to go to the bathroom. This component of this legislation puts women and children at great risk. And that's an egregious thing for our government to even be considering.
And yet here we have it. Now, do you believe that you'll get an adequate representation of your side in the press? Have you?
In the press?
Yeah. Has the press been fair, giving the other side of the story?
Oh, no. The press hasn't been fair at all. And I guess I don't expect that. It's not something that's on my radar to expect fair treatment from the mainstream media.
Is it your faith in God that gets you through this, considering the vilification that happens to you and to others that are not reported?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't do this without my Savior Jesus Christ and my faith in God. This is something that is definitely a spiritual battle. And when you come to these things, you do feel the oppression and you feel the darkness. And you know somebody's got to stand against it. And there will be a lot of Christians here today standing against this darkness, because people are starting to realize that once you start taking religious freedom and rights of conscience and free association and freedom of speech, once you start taking all that stuff away from the citizens and then from the businesses. It's not long before it's taken away from the church and from the pastor. And some of these proponents will stand up and say, well, we're not telling you what you can and can't believe. That's because they're trying to limit the places we can practice our faith. And for Christians, it's a 24/7 faith. So to say you can pray at home and on Sunday when you go to church, but don't infect the culture and the public market with your religion, that is completely contrary to not only the U.S. Constitution, but the Idaho Constitution.
Well, it does make you wonder. And again, what do you say to people that disagree with you that will be very emotional? And, you know, again, you've had threats against you, threats against your family. Won't be able to debate this logically because they're too close to this. What do you say to the opposition that, you know, they're monitoring this broadcast right now on their way in?
Well, every Idahoan should be treated with dignity and respect. That's not something that we can negotiate. Everybody should be treated with dignity and respect, and it is incumbent on us to treat our fellow citizens with love. However, that does not mean that love says, I have to condone everything you do. And love does also not say, I have to participate in everything you do. People have been hurt in many ways, whether they're gay or straight. And we have to find ways to help people heal from that. And those ways do not include infringing upon the rights of others and forcing others to participate or condone a certain lifestyle.
Julie, how long do you think this will go? 3 days?
I think it could go 3 days. I just know I'll be here as long as it's here.
Well, anything else that you'd like to share with the folks here?
I'll tell you one other thing, Kevin, is that there are a lot of people praying. Many people have said, you know, I can't come down to the hearing. I have to go to work. I've got kids at home. You know, for a variety of reasons, many people can't come, but they have committed to pray and pray for the legislators. When it gets right down to it, there are 18 people on this panel that will be voting yes or no on House Bill 2. And they need our prayer, as well as those of us testifying on both sides of this issue. We do need prayer for calm and peace in this hearing. We must hope that the emotions don't get way out of whack in the hallway here or in the hearing room, and that people treat one another civilly. Idaho is a state full of beautiful, wonderful people. And for the Add the Words people to indicate that we are other than compassionate and kind people is really quite an insult.
Julie, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Good luck today.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin, and thanks so much for having me on your show. And I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Well, it's our honor, and thank you for standing up for us. Take care now.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye. There you have it, Julie Lindy, Cornerstone Family Council. And I don't know how many of you are coming down to the hearing today. We would love to hear from you, 580-5436. This is it. Here we have it, the Add the Words hearing. Will it be fair? Will it be balanced? And by the way, the Boise Chamber of Commerce has now endorsed Add the Words and Uber. No surprise there. Look, business is business. Everybody wants to not be polarizing. So we have the Boise Chamber of Commerce endorsing that. In addition, though, when it comes to standing up for what's right, where do you stand? Coming up, we'll hear a media report previewing today's legislation. Plus, a state senator says no ticky, no punchy when it comes to funding teachers' salaries. We'll explain next. Thank you for starting your day with us. Kevin Miller with you here.
I am the T in the LGBT acronym.
I'm 26 years old, and I'm a trans male.
I identify as a woman of transsexual history.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Boy, how do you come into a talk segment after that intro, huh? Hope you're having a good day. Trying to make you laugh, make you think, make you do something. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Now, coming up this week, we'll hear from people that are the proponents of Add the Words. Most of our television stations, all three or four of them, however many you want to count, did a preview story concerning Add the Words and whether or not it's appropriate. Now, one person that I have an issue with is Chief Masterson. And perhaps we should put that as an opinion piece on our poll. Or we should leave it for your discussion, but is it appropriate for the police chief of the city of Boise to come out here and be an advocate for it. Now, people that like Chief Masterson that, you know, have said he's done a great job his 10 years here. And look, when it comes to fighting crime, can't argue with it. He's great. But he has become a more progressive advocate of issues. He spoke out against campus carry rather stridently. And many people will say just because you're a public servant doesn't mean that you, you know, don't have First Amendment rights. But I think that when you are a person of stature in a community, when you're appointed and you're approved, when you speak, people believe that you're speaking for the office. Now, perhaps if Chief Masterson would have dressed in a business suit instead of his uniform when going to all of these things and clarified that he is speaking as citizen Mike Masterson as opposed to police chief Mike Masterson. But when you have the police chief being an advocate for this, speaking at the rallies, whether it's for you not to be able to carry guns on campus, for you not to be able to be a proponent of traditional values. Remember, the city of Boise passed this ordinance. Now, I don't know how many people, with respect, now I'm using logic. Now, again, I have no investment in this, except I believe that, again, marriage is between a man and a woman, and we don't need to add words themselves. That's my opinion. Your opinion, always welcome. Agree or disagree at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. To the lady last week that called me fatty and said love is love, I don't believe that love is love. I don't. And it has caused me some issues with people that disagree with me in my personal and professional life. You're not going to turn me, okay? I'm entitled to it. It's America. It's Idaho. I can be against this. You can be against this, no matter what the media says. Or the proponents of this legislation say, you have Julie Lindy breaking it down. Has it been on any other media outlet in Idaho, the idea you can declare yourself a woman and if you're a man, walk into a ladies' room? Do you have an issue with that? I've got an issue with it. But that would go against the popular politically correct narrative. Now, back to Chief Masterson, I don't think it's appropriate for him. If the mayor would stop glowing about his free plane ride from Obama that we paid for, and actually, you know, it's got to be Beter's whole thing, and how many of us really care what the mayor of Boise does? And it's sad because it's the capital city. It's the largest city. It's a point of pride when people go, oh, Boise, Idaho, that's a great place. But in reality, it's got to be a thorn in the side to every good conservative Republican that you have Dave Beter being the mayor of the city of Boise. Let's face it, what does he do besides glad hand and welcome everybody? Well, he tried to build a trolley. That didn't happen. Take a look at what they're doing in Meridian. I guess they're going to build a convention center now in Meridian. And the growth going on there, the growth going on in Canyon County, it's such a different culture. And it's too bad in Boise you have more like Little Portland, with its police chief and its mayor. So I go back to this. I wish someone would admonish Chief Masterson and say, look, you know, take off that uniform. If you want to speak as a private citizen, go ahead, but you're not representing the Boise PD. How many people in the police department represent Chief Masterson's views? Neil in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Neil.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, let me say regarding Masterson, I think if it influenced his job directly, it would be appropriate for him to testify, such as if our sheriff were speaking on a firearms issue or things which he's done in the past. Though I've disagreed with his point of view in the past, I understand that he might be speaking because the outcome has a specific influence on his position. Other than that, I agree that he should just show up in a suit and speak as a private individual.
Well, and the idea that he says, well, this is going to help fight crime and end discrimination. Okay, sir, show me your numbers. In fact, we've had him in before he's done with us and we're done with him. But, you know, when we had him in here, you know, I said, well, give me the specifics about the hate crimes that this is going to stop.
Yeah, when they say crime, I mean, first of all, you're never going to end discrimination. No more than you're going to end bigotry by the fact that we already have race in our human rights ordinance, you're not going to end bigotry. You might have remedies in certain situations where it exists, but you're not going to end it by putting it in law. People are either going to be bigoted or they're not going to be bigoted. But to my main reason why I don't think we need to add the words, you already addressed one of them. There have already been city ordinances put in place. So cities already have a remedy if enough of the people in an individual community believe that, one, this type of discrimination exists, which I don't believe it does pervasively, then they have a remedy for that. But two, you add all kinds of unintended consequences and issues for churches, synagogues, people either of a ethical or moral conviction on this. What are you going to do when a couple or an individual shows up to a women's retreat and says, I'm a man, but today I'm self-identifying as a woman, and you need to accommodate me on this women's retreat?
Well, and the funny thing about this, Neil, is we don't hear about this in the press.
Right. I mean, we do to as much as we want to listen, because it's already unfolding on the national stage. It's already unfolding in cities and states.
I think when the local
have been enacted.
I'm with you, and you're a smart guy, but for the people that watch the local news,
right,
I think they do a grave disservice when they go, add the words, and conservative legislature be tough to get through, and you're like, I didn't hire you for opinions. I hired you to, make it,
right,
report the news.
Well, and the hard thing is the assumption or the message that they want to get out there is, if you oppose adding the words, you're inherently bigoted. Now, I believe that every person is created in the image of God. There, I just laid out my faith issue. And they are deserving of being treated with dignity. But dignity is different than giving special consideration under the law, what they call a suspect class under the law. And that's what this is doing. It's creating a wholly new suspect class under the law that is given special consideration above every other. Now, I'm not a tall guy, so maybe somebody can discriminate me because I'm short, or maybe because I wear glasses, or maybe because I have a certain birthmark or something. I mean, you're never going to eradicate every level of discrimination in employment, in housing, in just society in general. It's not going to happen.
Neil, thank you for the call.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin.
Good luck today. All right, Neil going down to the rally. We go to Jim in Middleton. Jim, we don't have a lot of time, so the air is yours, sir.
Okay, I'll make it quick, Kevin. First of all, I spoke with Ms. LaFaber on this issue,
yep,
and asked her to give me specifics. She refused to do so. And I was very sincere and earnest with her, because I was going to march with her downtown about the people that discriminated against gays, folks, and lesbians in the workplace and in rental places. She refused to say so. Now, I'm against this because she's implying that everybody in Idaho is a racist. And number two, this thing about going from one bathroom to the next, this, if you can't figure out if you're a man or a woman on a daily basis, you have a mental problem. You have a serious, serious flaw there, okay? And this shouldn't be part of the gay lesbian argument. That just goes to show how mentally disturbed that somebody that's going to wear a dress one day and then and drawers to the pants the next day. So this whole thing is a fraud. LaFaber's a fraud, and I'm just disgusted to hear that the police chief and Mayor Beter are going down this path to imply that everybody in Idaho is a racist, which is not true.
Look, and again, not to speak for the mayor, but again, he hired Masterson. Masterson speaks in favor, so I want to make sure we're clear on that one. Jim?
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Jim and Middleton. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Who needs Richard Ben Kramer when you have Jared Halpern of Fox News Radio to talk presidential politics? Good morning, sir.
I think his book is what got me interested in presidential politics.
A must read, What It Takes.
Required reading, at least where I went to college.
I required reading for everybody, I think, that gets involved.
I read it a few times, actually.
Yeah, I need to go back and read it.
It takes some time to read it. Carve out some time.
But. The Gephardt chapter is what I liked. But let me
I like the scene about Bush at the baseball game, both 41 and 43.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, now it has some even more relevance because of 43, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let me hit you with this. Wherever I've lived, I've tried to emulate the magic of New Hampshire or Iowa, and only Iowa or perhaps New Hampshire could all of a sudden hold a forum and get some pretty dang big-name people over the weekend. They got some major coverage.
Yeah, and all of this hosted by Steve King, who, truth be told, is like a rank-and-file member of Congress, right?
Right.
But certainly wields a lot of clout, particularly when it comes to immigration and some of these other major conservative issues. And that's what you saw over the weekend in Iowa was potential candidates, at least potential Republican candidates, trying to sort of pass the first test of the Iowa caucus, the Iowa primary, and that's how conservative can you be. We saw – I thought Scott Walker make his first, maybe his first big sort of national stage address. And by all accounts, at least the folks there in Iowa really seem to like it. He's certainly at a bit of an advantage, I guess. He's already got that Midwest sentiment. It goes over so well in Iowa, has, grew up a little bit. I think he mentioned it in his speech that he grew up in Iowa until he was like 7 or 8 years old. Certainly he did well. I think what's also notable is who did not attend this event. Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney, Rand Paul, none of them were there. Because I don't think that's the type of campaign that those folks are necessarily interested in running. Certainly an event like this carries some risk, I guess, for candidates as well. You don't want to say something that's sort of seen as pandering to this sort of evangelical socialist conservative group that's going to come back to haunt you later on. Once the field winnows a little bit and you're trying to win votes on a more mainstream level.
Jared, what about Mike Huckabee? He's kind of like the reigning champion of Iowa. He got the most out of winning Iowa. And,
yeah. At the same time, he has always done really well in Iowa. How many times has he been his party's nominee for president? Yeah. I think that's another issue of this entire – because you start this conversation off with, is there a state quite like Iowa? I don't think there is. Iowa is important. It can certainly launch presidential campaigns. Make no mistake about that. Remember that nobody knew who Senator Barack Obama was until he knocked off Hillary Clinton in the Iowa primary in 2008. Nobody saw that coming. It propelled him through the rest of the primary season. That's happened on the Republican side as well, but it also hasn't. Early Iowa contests seemed to be something that candidates spend a lot of time on. Remember that they do their straw poll, the Republicans do, in the summertime. Michelle Bachmann was the most recent winner of the Iowa straw poll. Her campaign largely fizzled out after that. So I don't want to diminish Iowa altogether. But remember that you're speaking at these events like this thing put on by Representative King to a really narrow sort of audience, right? These are very conservative, largely evangelical Iowans, not necessarily reflective of even every Iowan, let alone everybody that's going to be participating in a Republican primary and certainly a general election.
Jared, do you have time for one more question or not?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. Because you love the presidential politics. And okay, so how would you manage the first three states? And I guess we could throw in Nevada, but you have social evangelical Iowa, libertarian New Hampshire, uber social conservative South Carolina, which may not be the same as Iowa, and then you've got the West Nevada.
I mean, every candidate sort of has that problem, right? What do you want to focus on? What state do you want to get an early win on? And there's sort of always been this sort of competing belief, and I think Mitt Romney sort of struggled with it last election as well with, can you put all of your attention on Iowa? Should you put all of your attention in New Hampshire? I think the bottom line is you need to show up in all of them. I don't think it does anybody any good to ignore any, but I also think you run in trouble if you try and run different campaigns in different states. We've certainly seen candidates get in trouble doing that as well, haven't we?
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani, he was waiting for Florida, still is.
Right, well, that was the problem, right? And by the time Florida came around, that primary was pretty much ending.
Yeah.
So either do that. I think Giuliani showed why you don't. The other problem that candidates sometimes run into is they try and be different in Iowa than they are in Nevada or New Hampshire, you know, a different message or a different type of campaign. I think voters are smarter than that and can see right through that. So, you know, I thought it was interesting yesterday, over the weekend, this event in Iowa was emceed by a local Des Moines conservative radio host, does their morning show on WHO. And he sort of ended his opening remarks by saying, "Let the pandering begin," which I'm sure was only a half joke, but I think that was sort of his warning to the candidates as well.
Well, yeah, and that guy
don't come in here and just pander.
You know. That guy is
true to yourself, and I think, you know, you may not win in Iowa, but that's fine.
Right.
You don't want to get in trouble down the road if you end up being the nominee and you have to start defending things that you said early on that maybe you didn't really intend to say.
Yeah, and I think his name is Van, and that station is so iconic, and he's been around 25 years. Yeah.
And listen, part of the reason that Iowa is so iconic in talk radio is they sort of have this this crown jewel of politics at their helm, don't they?
They do, Jared. But you
when
and
is
I will.
Idaho going to get the big primary?
That is my goal here. Maybe with some help from you.
I'll see. I'll see what we can do to heighten the politics. I would love nothing more than to spend instead of January in Des Moines, than to spend January in Boise.
God bless you, Jared.
Can I get flights to Boise in January? Did they shut down the airport?
No, look, it's 40 degrees here. You're good.
All right.
Skiing in the mountains. Thank you, Jared.
I love it. All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, our great friend Jared Halpern joining us. And, you know, it's never too soon to talk presidential politics. Coming up next, a state senator lays the smackdown on the governor when it comes to education funding. We'll discuss next, plus your thoughts on Add the Words, the big hearing today. If you're on your way in, we would love to get your thoughts, pro and con, here at 580 KID.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert in footballs. I'm not an expert in football measurements. I'm just telling you what I know.
There you have it, Patriots coach Bill Belichick. We'll talk a little bit more about him next hour. Kevin Miller with your friend Robin Scott in for Dave Burnett today. And I do have a question for you when it comes to traffic. Are you ready?
I'm hoping I can answer it.
All right. You know, you do the afternoon traffic reports quite a bit, right?
Yes.
All right. You love doing traffic. It is a passion. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. I love doing traffic.
And you do it incredibly well. So what's the difference? What's the difference from your perspective doing the morning gig as opposed to the afternoon gig when you're talking volume? And I know you're going to say there's a lot more, but I mean, are there any nuances that that we can pick up on here?
There seems to be a lot more accidents in the afternoons for whatever reason. I think people just wanting to get home, maybe. It just makes them a little bit more, like, I don't know, anxious. Getting into work, it seems like it's a smoother drive, but it does get very busy at certain times. But it's definitely a little bit more boring, if you will, in the mornings where it's not a lot going on. It's just it has its busy time and then it kind of goes away.
No, so. It actually just proves that people that listen to this show are smarter than people that listen in the afternoons. Well, maybe it's the same. No, I think the intelligence is higher.
Yeah, maybe so. I think you might be onto something.
Well, thank you very much. But I was just thinking about this. Anything else you've picked up is the difference between doing morning drive traffic and afternoon traffic?
It's harder to come up with a different way to say it's busier and still running fine. In a way that is sort of boring. But then again, it's nice to have decent news to not have to say, yes, it's, you know, here's a terrible accident and avoid this area and all that. I mean, it gets exciting in a way. But
as long as you're not in it.
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I enjoy afternoons, especially. It moves a lot faster. It's just a little bit faster paced, I think.
Well, there's more accidents. There's more nitwits.
I think
smart people are here in the morning.
Well, it seems to start at. Well, yeah, exactly. It seems to start after school gets out, where that's where the more accidents come in.
I see. What about the alternate routes? Anything different from afternoons to mornings at all?
There are just no alternate routes around here. As far as the east-westbound freeway, I don't normally give alternate routes unless there's something specific, because it's probably not going to be any faster on the side roads because everyone's jumping off the freeway to take the side roads. So a lot of times, in my opinion and my experience, it is maybe even faster to just sit through the backups on the freeway. As long as things are moving along a little bit, it usually seems to take less time.
Really?
Yeah.
So just to take it.
Yeah. So I don't give the alternate routes because I've done the thing where I've taken the alternate route and it took me 45 minutes when it would have taken me 25 just to sit through it on the freeway.
Maybe that's you, not them.
That's a good point. I'm special.
Aren't we all, Robin? Aren't we all?
Yes, of course we are.
So I guess, are we ready for traffic? Or are we good?
I can do it.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just play the music. I love this headline. Donald Trump very, very serious about a presidential run. Really? Doesn't he say that every year? And then he hates on whoever's running. Oh, well, 6:59 coming up next. We'll talk a little money news. Dave Petzl will join us. 37 years with 580KIDO. Doesn't look a day past 20 years with us. So we'll talk some money. You can never have too much money. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Education funding, add the words. By the way, Boise doctor and surgeon and entrepreneur Tommy Alquist will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Discuss the future, private business-wise, of the Treasure Valley. You don't want to miss that one. 29 in Meridian. Kevin Miller, good morning. KIDO Napa, Idaho's